In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. It's appropriate for me to be in the midst of you as I speak about St. John, since he was a pastor in the midst of his people. So I am in a poor way trying to emulate him. This is the end of my 21st year living in Texas. I came to Texas on the day of the glorification of St. John, which just so happens to be July 3rd, 1994. Now, his commemoration is not on July 3rd. It's some calculation of a Saturday closest to a certain date. And so that is tomorrow. But this is the end of 21 years in Texas. And I am sad that I've done so little in 21 years. Certainly, 21 days of St. John's ministry would be equivalent and higher than all 21 years of my ministry. Now, when we read the life of a saint, when we venerate a saint, it should be a very personal thing. Everybody has different saints that for some reason touch them in some way. You hear the ones that I commemorate, St. James, the great martyr of Persia, St. Timothy of Esfigmenu, Father Cosmas, who's not even officially glorified, but his life has touched me deeply, and I think I am protected by his prayers. Everybody has saints that for some reason really touch them. St. John has always been one for me because my ministry has always been under his protection. So I will tell you some personal things about him. I thought about reading his life, but that's good to know. You should know his life and you should read it. But I think it's very important, and I want to help to, if I can, in some small way, teach you a skill. And that skill is to read the lives of the saints or the scripture in such a way that it penetrates your heart. That the information which you gather from it, the factual information, becomes spiritual information and touches you. And everything in St. John's life won't touch you the same. So I'll just tell you the things in a quick survey of his life that have always touched me and humbled me and actually shamed me, the great majority of these things. One is that he was a man truly of prayer. He was constantly praying. It is said about him by someone, I don't know where. You know how that is. You read so many things, you have no idea where you read it, but it's something that has always been part of you, even though you can't quote where it came from. This is one of the most important things I've ever learned in Orthodoxy. And that is that it was said of St. John that he never prepared for prayer, whereas he was always praying. Now, you and I, we prepare for prayer. We're going to say our communion rule, and we're kind of futzing around, and we're doing something in the kitchen, and we're reading something, and we're doing this, and we're being lazy. And then, oh, yes, I got to say my rule. And you say your rule later than you expected. We do that kind of thing all the time. We have to prepare for prayer. Now, you should compensate for this passion, for this sin, because anything that's short of God is sin, by the way. So the fact that we don't pray all the time is a sin. Now, it's a sin that if we repent of, God will certainly forgive, but let's not pretend that it's not a sin for us to be thinking of minutiae or knowing more Reader Digest articles than we know chapters of Isaiah. So, St. John never prepared for prayer. He was always in prayer. And that has always amazed me. And I'm only starting to just barely see and understand what that means now. Also, he would bless his people during the night. At one point, he was a headmaster of a school, very well loved at, I think it was in Serbia. And every night, he would go, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. Time had no significance to him. To the saints, time doesn't mean anything. He was up all night anyway. And he didn't sleep very much. And when he did sleep, he slept sitting up. He never slept laying down for asceticism and also to increase prayer. Really, that wasn't... Remember that asceticism, physical asceticism, is of no use whatsoever if it isn't for us to come closer to God. God does not care how many hair shirts you wear or how heavy the chains that you have are on your body or whether or not you go without sleep. But if you go without sleep in order to pray, now that's something very significant. And so, St. John would go to the doors of all of the seminarians and he would bless them. And then he would stand there for a period of time and pray for them. And he would do that every night. He also did this in the Philippines. Much of his Russian flock from China had to go to the Philippines. And they were in a refugee condition. They were in very low-lying ground. Much of the Philippines is very close to sea level or below it, and when a typhoon comes through, what we call a hurricane, they call a typhoon, it would destroy whole areas, drown people and take them. If it didn't drown them, it would completely obliterate their means of living. And during the, I believe it was 1.5 years that they were there, he would go and bless the compound constantly at night. He would walk around. And there was no typhoon, there was no storm. When they left, very shortly thereafter, a typhoon came and destroyed the area they were living in. It would have killed many and left everybody homeless. That always made a deep impression on me. Not deep enough, unfortunately, I have to admit to you, that when all of my children were home, to be up at 3 a.m. and blessing each one of their doors. I have done that, but not with as much zeal and continuance as St. John did. So that's the first thing that's always impressed me about St. John, is his prayer. That he didn't prepare to pray, as I have to do so often, and that he prayed with deep love for those that were in his care. And so I've tried, and it's taken me 21 years to come anywhere close, to pattern myself after that. And for many years it was pitiful how I patterned myself after him. But now, slowly, there are things building to be praying and having my flock always in remembrance. Also, he was a man of the liturgy. And thank God that we serve the liturgy twice a week at a minimum. This week I'll serve it 3 times, and most weeks I serve it 3 times because I go to prison and serve it. He served the liturgy every day, and he fed off of the liturgy. And I'm trying to learn how to do that, and starting to learn how to do that by his prayers. Another thing about St. John was his incredible boldness. Do you know that he was just a little person? I mean, he was tiny. He kind of was a little bent over. He was not impressive at all. You would have been able to knock him over with your finger, or so you would think. I don't think anybody who tried it probably succeeded. But he looked like somebody that was not strong at all. He also had a severe speech impediment. He was a very intelligent man, had command of multiple languages. But externally, he was not impressive whatsoever. But he took care of those that he loved. And he was an absolute bear with those who would hurt those he loved. One of the stories about him that you may know, and I'll tell it as best I know, whether or not every single fact, everything I say is absolutely factual, is not so important as the gist of it. That's one of the things about Lives of the Saints, is that you don't remember it exactly, but the spiritual meaning gets seared into your heart. And that is that St. John once in Shanghai, and I think multiple times, but there's a story told, that he went into the slum areas of Shanghai where humans were being sold for a pittance. There was human trafficking, including of Russian orphans, selling babies for outcomes that we would not even want to think about. And so he got 2 bottles of vodka, and he went to one of the worst areas of town, and he traded the 2 bottles of vodka for a baby. And this baby was brought to his orphanage. And one thinks that this probably happened multiple times. He wasn't afraid. I've thought about him sometimes. I've been in some very strange areas of town at very strange hours of the night. And I think St. John has protected me. Now, I haven't traded 2 bottles of vodka for a baby, but I would like to think that St. John is teaching me, teaching you to be bold We need boldness nowadays. Not so much to go into a slum area and buy a child with vodka, but to stand up for our faith. We all know what happened last week when basically the rule of life was declared to be whatever gives you pleasure can be enshrined in law. And if you do not believe in this principle, then you are to be cast away, fined, pilloried in some way. So you better have some courage and you better have some boldness, because you're going to have to stand up. And St. John can help you to stand up. I'll give you another example of his boldness. And that is also his anger. Sometimes anger is a good thing if you do it the right way. I haven't quite mastered that trick, but he knew how. They were having a vigil for St. John of Kronstadt, which happens to be on Halloween Eve in this country. So on October 31st, he's celebrating the vigil. Well, a bunch of people had a ball that day. And it's a big deal. Everybody gets dressed up, and they're all in costume, and they're all just doing absolutely silly, frivolous, stupid things instead of being in church. So St. John is serving the vigil, and he interrupts the vigil, and I don't know how the story exactly goes, but I believe that he got in a cab and went to the ball, and all he did was walk around. They were eating at this point. He just walked around the table silently and just looked at them. Nobody would look at him. And it turns out that a lot of very chastened people were in church the next day. Now, I don't know how that would work. If I tried such a thing, if you had a Halloween ball, please don't do that. But if you did, and I did such a thing, I think it would probably not work out so well, because I'm not holy. But St. John was holy, therefore his anger was completely righteous, and it probably caused somebody to look at their life and say, what am I doing with myself? Now, there's another thing about this incident that has always helped me in my ministry. St. John is no different in this respect than our Lord Jesus Christ, or St. John Chrysostom, or any of the saints. And if I may dare to put myself in their category, and only in the fact that I am a priest, as they were priests, can I put myself in their category, just like me. That is, the people that we minister and preach to, some of them are going to go off and do whatever, and leave the church or live completely impious lives, justify their sins, and never ever, quote unquote, get it. People that St. John ministered to, our Lord ministered to, every priest in the history of the church has ministered to, there are people that don't get it. Sometimes in our dark days, we think that almost nobody gets it. That's not true. That's just a lie from Satan. There's always many who have not bowed the knee to Baal. But that happened to St. John, and he was holy. He was a wonder worker. He was recognized as holy by the very people who were going to the Halloween ball. So I remember that. It helps me sometimes when I feel a little despondent and feel a little bit of hopelessness about the way some people are reacting. Or when I look at my diptychs at so many people that I don't really know how they're doing anymore. They've kind of disappeared, and I have no idea what's happening with them. Or some that I know what's happening to them, and it's a sad story. Also, the last thing that I will tell you is his holiness and dedication to prayer and to ascetical life and to saving his soul, to being with God and union with him in the midst of incredible upheaval. This is a man who had more upheaval in his life than we could have in 3 centuries. He took his orphans from China, first of all, Russia to China, then to the Philippines in very poor conditions. He did all kinds of things to bring them to the States, interceding with President Eisenhower. English was, I think, his fourth language, so he struggled a little bit there. But he was able to have so many of his orphans come over. I know a priest, Father John Whiteford, who actually has known some of his orphans. They may be reposed by now, I think. I'm not sure if any of them are still living. But he knew some of them who were the very ones that were rescued by St. John from Shanghai to the Philippines to this country. And in all the midst of this, he was a man of prayer and a man of holiness. But being a man of prayer and holiness did not keep him from fighting for his people, for his flock, for his little lambs, for his orphans. These are the things that really touch me about St. John. Perhaps other things touch you about St. John. He humbles me, as I said in the beginning, in my little, insignificant, very poorly executed ministry. I have just finished now 21 years of living in Texas as of this day under the protection of St. John. So it's very personal to me that St. John was glorified on the day that I came to Texas and has been a protector of me. And slowly, I think, things have changed so that I might even be getting something done by now. Read his life. Ask his prayers, sing his troparion, be humbled by his exploits, a modern man in our midst. And he saved his soul and saved those of hundreds, thousands around him. And his body was incorrupt. We'll probably read about that in Matins tomorrow. Through the prayers of the Holy Hierarch St. John, of Shanghai and San Francisco, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.